My life really has been changed dramatically by reading scripture. I read the Bible through it the first time when I was 14, signed up for a one-year Bible reading program, and that just gave me a sense of the overall flow of the book, filled in some gaps from Sunday school, without all this, the sanitized stuff, saw the real world described through scripture, got a sense of its unity. And then when I was about 19, 20, as a bit of a deal with God, I committed to reading scripture regularly. And through that, the Spirit got a hold of me in a way that he never had in the past. And that changed the whole direction of my life. Since then, having read the Bible through many times and done with my wife some significant memorization and learning about the whole issue of memorization, taking the Word of God in, it's again just given lots of fodder for growth and has increasingly been a dominant tool in the hands of the Spirit in my life, in my heart, and in my mind. And so as I share today on really how to read the Bible, at least getting into it initially, my goal is twofold. My goal, of course, is to give you some ideas on how to, but at the same time also to create a bit of a hunger, a bit of a passion for you to do that. And so right out of the gate, I want to just ask you to do a little personal questionnaire, a little personal inventory when it comes to your devotional life. So here's the exercise. I just want you in your mind, ideally write it down, but at least describe your current devotional pattern. What's your habit of personal devotions? What do you do? When do you do it in terms of Bible reading and prayer and devotional input? How often do you do it? And then really, I just want you to identify, how do you currently feel? How do you currently evaluate your personal devotional life? What's your sense of how you're doing? Just kind of put a stake in the ground and identify that right now and kind of carry that in mind as we go through the lesson today and maybe some of those future lessons as well. Well, what are we actually talking about when we're talking about personal devotions? It's kind of a Christian-y kind of phrase that's thrown around a lot. What we're talking about is personal time, private time, just you and God in the Word and in prayer. And when you think about that, what would it look like if you had a successful devotional life? What would that look like? How would you feel? What kind of time? What kind of content? What would it look like? And one of the comments or responses people often have with this, something along the lines, this is what I do or this is what I want to do, but I could always do more. We can always do more. And I just want to say to that, no, that's not true. You can't always do more. And the nature of devotional life is not that you're always falling short in some way. That's not the case. We have lives. We can't sit in our chair or sit on our knees all day long praying and reading the Bible. We have other things to do. I know for me, a successful time in devotions, a successful daily devotions, successful retreat, successful whatever spiritual discipline I'm doing, for me, I've discovered it comes down to unrushed time. Unrushed time is the issue for me. And sometimes that's 15 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours. But for me, I've discovered successful time in the Word, successful time in prayer means I've had unrushed time. Time to get quiet. Time to listen. Time to share my heart. Time to listen some more. And just rest in the arms of the Father. Rest in God's presence. So that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about devotions. One of my profs in Bible school said that the whole goal of devotions, the whole purpose of devotions is to lead a life of devotion. It's to feed into what we're doing that day, to feed into what we're doing at work, at school, in our leisure time, that we are, as we go about our day-to-day life, devoted to Christ and representing Him well. And so that's the intent of what we're talking about today. There's a lot of great biblical reasons for devotions, for spending time in the Word and time in prayer. One of the first verses I memorized after the Lord got a hold of me was Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Another very similar passage is in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verses 25 to 28, it says this. Whom have I in heaven but you? and earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And really, it's about knowing God. Not just knowing about God, but knowing God. Spending time in his presence. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says this. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. And that just drops the idea that part of this devotional intent is personal growth. Personal spiritual growth, which really means becoming like Jesus. Turning to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. And chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And this points to the idea that devotions, time in the Word, time in prayer, equips us for ministry. It equips us for service. It equips us to be the hands and feet and voice in Jesus as we go through the day. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 says this. Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. A little later on in Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, it says this. As for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Every morning and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. This points out the idea that time with God can be a time to cry out for help. There's nothing wrong with crying out for help. We need to cry out for help all the time. And God welcomes it and he invites us to do that. So a cry for help is a very important part of spending time, devotional time. Other reasons, you learn God's will. You discern his will. You deal with stuff in your life. You develop wisdom. You get direction for the day. Those are some of the reasons for what we call this devotional life. Now, have you ever had a skill that you wanted to learn that when you started, you couldn't do it? I mean, most of us, we try to ride a bicycle, and there's a lot of crash and burns when you're trying to ride a bicycle. Even after you've learned to ride it, there's a lot of crash and burns. I recall one time riding a bicycle. It was a little too big for me. I'd been riding for several years, elementary age. The bike was a little bit too big, and my foot slipped off the pedal and went into the front wheel and jammed, and the bike flipped over, locked the front wheel, flipped right over on my face. And I'd already been riding the bike for several years. There's just things we do that they're difficult sometimes, but once you get really good at them, they can be very enjoyable. Bike riding can be very enjoyable. Fly fishing. Anybody fly fish? You ever started fly fishing? How frustrating it is. Lines getting tangled, getting hooks in your ear, all kinds of stuff, but you get good at it. It's so beautiful. I mean, fly fishing, when you're into it, it doesn't really matter if you catch a fish. It's just so relaxing to be out there. The rhythm of the cast. All kinds of other things. Larry Lee has this description of what happens with our devotional lives, and it's true for all skills that we learn. Talks about this progression from desire to discipline to delight. So you have a desire to do something. In this case, a desire to spend time with God, spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. But it's hard and it's not necessarily fun. And so you decide to do it. You discipline yourself and you start to spend time in the Word and you start to spend time in prayer. And at a certain point, you develop some skills and patterns and you move to the place of delight. Again, it happens with other skills. Cross-country skiing is something my wife and I enjoy. She actually spent a year in Norway at what they call a folk high school, signed up for a sport and outdoor course, did winter camping on cross-country skis. So she's fairly capable on cross-country skis. We cross-country ski together, but, you know, when you start out, when you get back into it as an adult, there's a lot of stumbling and falling. I've had some great wipeouts. We took some lessons one day up at Silver Star, and you know, we try to decide, should we sign up for beginner, you know, novice or intermediate, certainly not expert. We said, you know, I said, let's play it safe. Let's sign up for beginner. Am I ever glad we did? We'd been skiing quite a bit that year, but man, we found muscles we didn't know we had, but it improved our ability dramatically. And we've discovered every year that we need to get out about 20 times. 20 times to get in shape, to get our technique down, and then it becomes really fun. And then there's those few days in the spring that are just like the perfect skiing days where you want to ski all day, and you can because you've put in the time and you've got the skill and you got the fitness level. That's not unlike how it is with our devotional lives. There's a desire to go further with God, and we discipline ourselves and spend time, and we move to this place of delight and this place of joy. I like the way a fellow by the name of BJ Wilhite puts it. He says, some days you're digging holes. Some days you're planting poles. Some days you're stringing wire. And then one day the circuit is complete and you get connection. You make contact. And that's kind of how it is sometimes in our devotional walk. Digging holes, planting poles, stringing wire. You don't have necessarily a deep spiritual breakthrough every single day, but in time you do, and you get to the place often where you're in this tight walk with God. And I've been in a place in my life where the moment I hit the floor with my knees, I'm in God's presence, and it's just so delightful and such a beautiful thing. But there's other times where it's like climbing the mountain, where there is a push. Now here's some simple devotional patterns. There may be a chance in teaching down the road to dig into more detail in this, but here's some very simple devotional patterns for taking in the word if you're not doing it already. Obviously, the core of it is scripture, reading scripture. And one method of reading scripture is to read it rapidly, to read multiple chapters every single day. You know, Psalms has 150 chapters, Proverbs has 31. If you read one chapter in Proverbs and five Psalms and 10 chapters in the New Testament every day, you'll get through Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament in a month. In a month. And that just gives you a chance to really get a rapid flow through of Scripture. You could also do a one-year Bible reading program. That's fairly rapid reading. It's actually not that fast, but it covers a lot of ground quickly. But I would encourage, as well as rapid reading, consider slow reading. And slow reading is where you start, let's say you start in Matthew, the Gospels, right at the beginning of the New Testament, or the book of Proverbs, and you just read slowly, marking things that interest you until you have something that you want to mull on, something to reflect on, a phrase that you want to carry with you through the day, and you just park there, and you pray it through, and you think about it, and you carry it with you through your day. Maybe it raises a question, maybe it gives you a piece of direction, and you just allow it to soak in and soak in. And then the next step beyond that, moving from rapid reading to slow reading, is, of course, memorization. And I really want to encourage you. It's important to memorize different key verses, but I really want to encourage you, consider memorizing by the chapter. Something happens when you memorize a chapter of Scripture, a larger block at least of Scripture, at least a paragraph, because you get some context. And it really does soak into your heart and your mind. Psalm 19 is a great place to start. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Romans 12 is probably one of the most focused, dense chapters there is in terms of Christian life and practice. It includes the beautiful Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which I refer to all the time in my teaching, preaching, in my personal life. And it's got some great directions there. And so I want to encourage you to look into memorizing Scripture as a part of your intake. Now, part of this devotional life is prayer. And that really would require a whole separate teaching. The Lord's Prayer is a great pattern for praying. It gives you an idea of how to pray. But here's a simple thing to think about. I encourage you, if you're not really versed in prayer, you don't pray consistently, think in terms of concentric circles, where, of course, you begin with gratitude, you know, and thanking God and worshiping Him. Maybe put on a song and sing along, or at least think along with the song. But then start praying, asking God to work for His kingdom to come, His will to be done, starting with you. and then praying your immediate family, and then praying for your friends, your neighborhood, your church, your community, your country, maybe situations around the world, kind of praying concentric circles as wide as you think you need to go at that moment and in that time. And again, ultimately, it's good to come back to the Lord's Prayer as a pattern. And we may do some teaching on that down the road. What I want to encourage you, if you don't have a devotional life, if you are not regularly, consistently in the Word and prayer for yourself, I want to encourage you and challenge you to carve out beginning point, 15 minutes a day, where you spend, 5 or 10 minutes in the Word and 5 or 10 minutes in unrushed prayer. So 15 minutes, and just block out the time, ideally at the beginning of the day. Maybe you can do it at the end, but there's some benefits to the beginning of the day, but do what works for you. Maybe lunchtime works, but carve out that unrushed block of time. Take in the Word, respond in prayer, and see what the Lord begins to do with you. I came across a great old story, a fellow by the name of J. Sidlow Baxter. He was a Christian leader back in the early part of the 1900s, and he had this great little write-up called The Day My Emotions Joined Me in Prayer. And he talks about the struggle he had in doing what we would consider personal devotions and how, life was so busy. And every morning he wanted to get up and, have a quick breakfast and spend an hour and a half in the Word and prayer and then go do some exercises, and how it just got harder and harder to do. And so he tells this story in an interesting way. He talks about how he would choose to go, do his time of prayer in the Word with his friend Will. Will being his will. So him and Will would go do these devotions. His emotions wouldn't follow. His emotions would kick and scream and argue and try to drag him down, but he and Will would just decide to go. And he talked about him and Will just making this commitment to go do this time in the Word and in prayer every single week. And eventually one day he described it this way. He said, this went on for 2.5 weeks. Basically, every day the emotions kicking and screaming and not going. Will and I stuck it out. Then one morning during the third week, I looked at my watch and I said, Will, it's time for prayer. Are you ready? And Will said, yes, I'm ready. And just as we were going, I heard one of my chief emotions say to the others, come on, fellas, there's no use wearing ourselves out. They'll go on whatever we do. And he talks about how his emotions finally joined him in that time of prayer and in the time of the Word, and how there is this shift. And he began to meet God in a full and complete way. But it came from choosing to do it. Back to that pattern. Desire, discipline, delight. Choosing to do it. Choosing to engage. And so my challenge to you, if you don't have a current pattern, a devotional pattern, I want to encourage you 5 times a week for a minimum of 15 minutes a day. Open the book. Do either some rapid reading, some slow reading, or some memorization, and then pray for yourself, pray over your day, offer your thanks to God, and see what God will begin to do in your heart and in your mind. It's changed my life. It's changed many other lives. I know it'll change yours. Let me pray as you choose to go forward in this. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll plant within each of us a desire to know you, desire to spend time with you, a desire to taste and see that the Lord is good, a desire to rest in your presence, a desire to have you come and help order our days. And I pray, Lord, that from that desire there would be a discipline, there would be a choice, an act of the will to meet with you regularly and consistently. And for those who are doing nothing right now, a desire, a choice to do 15 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week, for the rest of 2020 or the rest of whatever year this is heard in. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you will rapidly deal with things in our hearts and in our minds and our lives and bring us to that place of delight, that place of enjoying our time with you, of sharing our hearts, of hearing your voice, of discovering the relevance of your word in our day-to-day lives. Move us forward as people of the word, as people of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.